Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan Crawford, my wife and Bible teacher, Sheila, who will be ministering shortly. We'll begin by asking God for his blessing on tonight's program. Abba, Holy God of Israel, we thank you, we worship you, and we honor your Son, who just by the use of his name gives us power over the enemy. Guide us by the light of your word. Let every verse increase our faith and our wisdom to discern truth from the many heresies infecting your church. We constantly pray for our loved ones' salvation and for our listeners' good health. We lift up those who are called by your name that have been affected by the wildfires in the Northwest. May we find favor in your eyes as we humbly beseech your blessing on tonight's study. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. And Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu, which I know you know what that means.
May you be inscribed for a good year.
That's right. And that is a traditional Jewish New Year saying, because Rosh Hashanah is soon upon us when God's calendar changes to the next year.
Their year right now is 5775.
It is. And let me make a comment on that, actually. It should be closer to 6,000 counting from Adam, but they now admit some years were not counted, like when they were under any servitudes, like in Babylon and others, plus a few errors in calculations. But the rabbis chose never to change it. It is tradition, so they're keeping it. So next month, which is our September on Tishri 1 on the Jewish calendar, it will be 5776. And let me also add that most believe when they repossessed Jerusalem in the Six-Day War, that that was definitely a Jubilee year, which on their calendar was 5727. So if this September is 5776, then the following September on Tishri 1 would be 5777, another Jubilee year.
Could those three sevens mean something?
Well, perhaps so, but even more remarkable is that it is another Jubilee year.
Okay, how about some news? I hear that Israel had some rockets landing up in the north.
Yes, about four of them last Thursday, and on Friday then, Israel struck back, killing five of the suspected Islamic cell of that group, who, by the way, they found out that their orders actually come from Iran. So Israel has erected more iron domes in the north and has taken a more defensive action, at least for now. Also, Mahmoud Abbas wants his son to succeed him as Palestinian leader. His name is Yasser, which I think is funny because they used to have a Yasser Arafat before Mahmoud. But his name is Yasser Abbas, naturally. He's 52, a Canadian-Palestinian businessman who has useful ties in Washington.
Isn't that just great?
Yes.
You came up with a nice quick summary of the Iran deals. Do we have time for you to give that tonight?
Iran deal in a nutshell? Okay, I guess I can try that.
Of course, the big question is, why would Iran rejoice so heavily over this deal?
Well, because they are the big winners.
Money.
The deal lifts sanctions and unfreezes its assets. This means that over $100 billion will be turned over to their Iranian bank accounts. And don't forget about the millions we have already given them just to sit down at the table. They are also free to build more nuclear plants, but of course for energy, but with the understanding they won't build any new enrichment facilities. And the ones they already have cannot increase the current enrichment levels until 2025, so like 10 years. They also agreed to disconnect their centrifuges and shut down any facility that could be used to make a nuclear bomb. The IAEA will be able to monitor through remote high-tech systems, but if suspicious and want to visit in person, must get approval from Iran. Really? A pre-approval from Iran, who actually can deny it for 24 days before the sanctions are again applied, which we all know takes quite some time, and doubtful if other countries will give up its lucrative trading by that. And last Thursday, the Associated Press reported that one of the side deals is that Iran can employ their own inspectors to the Parchin site, known to most to have produced nuclear arms. It's crazy. It just keeps getting more insane.
Because they will cheat.
Well, everybody knows that. And what about the rockets and the long-range missiles? Those were not even on the table. And, of course, Iran is right now still threatening death to America and their closer neighbor, Israel. And as I just said, they use proxy armies, and they just shot four rockets into northern Israel, and probably to test the waters. And there's more. Just 2 weeks after the Iran nuclear deal was announced, Iran released an animated new video which depicts an attack on Jerusalem by the Revolutionary Guard and its allies. The video declares Israel must be obliterated.
And according to Ezekiel 38, they will try.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because we know that, don't we?
Any important news?
Any other important news, you mean? I think there is. Well, the economy, of course, is teetering. They were a little nervous yesterday. It seems to be better today. And, of course, those Northwest fires were horrendous, and apparently now contained with no new fires in the last 2 days. But there are many events scheduled for September that raises many brows. Now, I'm not going to take the time tonight, but you can get a lengthy list on YouTube. But what is probably the most important is the Pope's visit to America, beginning in Washington, on none other than Yom Kippur. Day of Atonement, oh boy. And we are supposed to give him a godlike reception. And then he will address our Congress. And then he will be the opening speaker at the UN's 70th General Assembly in New York. I think that's interesting because 70 is an important number. Anyway, it's called his encyclical, but it's actually an Agenda 21 enhancement of regulations. After, of course, he does much fear-mongering about global warming. And, you know, people will just eat it all up and end up hailing him. And then he goes on to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, for more honoring. And by the way, who is paying for all this? Is it the Catholic Church, who is the richest organization in the world? No, the taxpayers, who at last look are financially hurting in Philadelphia.
I'm sure we'll be addressing this issue a lot over the next few weeks.
More than likely.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. Reminder, the first Friday of every month, September 4th, is our next one, where Shofar Assembly meets for worship and a timely Bible study on the Feast of Trumpets, God's real new year. So make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio at 7 p.m.
Also, I wanted to let the listeners know who live in the vicinity of Newton Falls, Ohio. On Tuesday, September 15th, I will be speaking at a Rosh Hashanah dinner. Call 330-527-2777. I'll repeat that. 330-527-2777. That's pretty easy to remember, but you need to call that for your ticket information, or you can just call the office, and I can give you that number if you didn't get to write it down.
And the home group meets again in Aurora this Thursday at 12:30, where you will be teaching on the fall feast.
Of course, it's that season. Again, just call the office. You know where that's at. 440-834-9006.
Okay, time to move on to the scriptures. Last week it was Micah, which you can re-listen to on our webpage. This yes. week, Isaiah 26.
It is Isaiah 26, because since the Feast of Trumpets will be here soon, my husband suggested a couple weeks ago that we look at a few of the lesser known but very powerful scriptures in the Old Testament that confirms a pre-trib rapture. So last week was Micah 7:2. So this time turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 26, which begins by describing our soon home. And then in verse 2, it says what will actually happen first. So verse 1 says, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah." Okay, first of all, it says in that day. That means it's the seventh and last millennium. And it begins with God's new year called Rosh Hashanah. We don't know exactly when that is, but it could be very soon. And then the song reads, "We have a strong city." Well, of course, that's Jerusalem, and that's our soon headquarters. Then it goes on, "God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks." Now, our salvation is our protection. The Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. So you can say God will appoint Yeshua for our protection. And he certainly did that in the New Testament, didn't he? Okay, so now we go into verse 2, and this is the exciting one. It says, "Open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in." Okay, let's look at the word gates. It's number 8179, Shahar, and it's actually a portal opening into heaven. I've learned through the years, after reading many manuscripts and the Book of Enoch and things, that there are actually portals around the earth, and you must use one of these portals to either access heaven or to leave heaven, or even the upper atmosphere, outer space. Jacob in Genesis 28 saw an open portal with a ladder reaching into the sky. Do you remember that? That was a portal. And Nimrod believed there was a portal where he tried to build the Tower of Babel. He wasn't actually trying to get into heaven. He wanted to get into the portal that goes into the heavens. And according to Enoch, fallen angels came through a portal on the top of Mount Hermon. And you might not know this, but the Apache Indians that live in Arizona say that the top of Mount Graham is a portal, because they've seen spirits come through the sky from there, which is why they even took the Vatican to court to try to stop them from building that high-powered telescope camera. Remember on the observatory up there? But they did anyway, and they called it Lucifer. Now, the Jesuit astronomers, they're Jesuits, who manned the observatory, knew it was a portal and have admitted to looking for and expecting extraterrestrials. And in fact, they said they would even baptize them when they arrive. I am not joking. You can do your research. You'll find what I'm telling you is true. Well, anyway, let's continue on. We will continue reading now at verse 19. again, it's we're studying on the pre-trib rapture. So verse 19 is where we want to start. But I have to tell you, the whole chapter is about the resurrection, but it's both for the wicked and the righteous. And if studied really in depth, and if you look up some important key words, you will get the idea that Isaiah is also referencing the very wicked after we are gone will actually be set loose from in the earth to do havoc. Okay, let's look at verse 19. It speaks first of the resurrection of the righteous, that's you and me, and it complements verse 2 that we just read. Again, just read verses 3 to 18 on your own. And I'll just tell you quickly that it mentions a few events on the earth during the tribulation, like some of the inhabitants that were left behind will become righteous, the tribulation saints. But it also talks about very wicked, that even if shown grace, they will not turn. And he also includes those who are just not redeemable, like the dead, or when you look that word up, it's Raphim in verse 14, who won't even be part of the white throne judgment at the end of the millennial kingdom. They've already been judged, just like the fallen angels. Jude 6. And Jude 6 also tells us that they're coming back for the tribulation in the great day. So again, everything in the New Testament has already been told in the Old Testament. Verse 19 says, your dead shall live. Now this is God's righteous dead. With my dead body, Isaiah says, they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs. And remember that it's sort of like, actually the original talks about the light of your, for the lights of dew is your dew. A little confusing. But in other words, as the dew gives life to herbs and grass, our resurrection from the light giver is like dew giving us new life in the resurrection. Then this last line in verse 19 is most overlooked, especially if you don't look up the word dead. There's different words for the word dead. And it says here, the earth shall cast out the dead. Okay, you think since verse 19 starts out talking about the righteous resurrection that one would assume it's just a confirmation of our resurrection. But if you look more closely, you'll notice Isaiah spoke of our resurrection as being from the light as dew grows herbs. But this last sentence says the earth will do the casting. And the word for dead in the original, in the Hebrew, is rapha, or departed spirits, number 7497. Look it up. In other words, it means the descendants from the Nephilim or giants from Genesis 6. In other words, after our resurrection, the wicked Raphim will be released from the bottomless pit. But don't we know that because Revelation 9 tells us that? It's amazing when you realize that everything in the New Testament has its origins and been prophesied in the Old Testament too. It's quite remarkable, actually. Okay, now Isaiah prophesies that, or what happens at the resurrection. And this is where we're getting in good now. Come, my people, that's us, into your chambers. The word for chambers is hadar, and it means a wedding room. And he says, shut the doors behind you. And in Matthew 25:10, wasn't the door shut to the five virgins in name only? Remember that? So, then he says, hide yourself, as it were, for a little while until the indignation or the fury is past. So right there you have it. He says, come on up, enter into the wedding chamber, and hide until the indignation or the tribulation is over. That is so simple to understand, and it's right there. And then what happens at the end of the indignation? Verse 21, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. So in other words, he comes to finish it. It starts when he opens up the seal judgments, and it finishes when he comes down to the earth to punish the inhabitants for their iniquity. And the earth will also disclose her bloodshed and no more cover her slain. And let's go on to one more verse. I think we have a few minutes. The next verse in Isaiah 27 says, in that day, again, that's always after the rapture, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong. And of course, we know this is confirmed in Revelation 19, the sword of Jesus's mouth. And Hebrews 4 says, the word, which is Jesus, is sharper than a sword. So there we have that connection. But it says that he will punish Leviathan, or that sea monster, also called the fleeing serpent. Leviathan, that twisted serpent. And he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. This is what Isaiah 27:1 says. It matches Revelation 19. And don't forget, what does Revelation 13 say the beast comes from? The sea. So Isaiah 27:1 says he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. Of course, that's Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. So Isaiah 26:20 is a definite pre-trib rapture scripture in the Old Testament. And I pray that you enjoy going a little deeper in the word, because, you know, he really does want us to. And I know you know that. next time we'll take another couple more Old Testament rapture scriptures. And then maybe we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on in September. Quite a few things. I believe we're going to see some false flags as well. And there's a reason that Jade Helm is doing those, military exercises. They, want to be used for martial law, I'm sure. But we'll talk about that. And, remember, perhaps this could be the season, saints. Every year we look forward to the fall season because we believe that possibly the rapture will happen. And there's so many signs that say it could. So we're hopeful. But please get deeper into the word, because more word, more armor, more faith, more Jesus, and more rewards at the Bema judgment for his saints. Okay? All right. But let me close now. For those of you that are listening to me right now, but you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, accept his free gift into your heart. Repent of your sins, for Christ took your debt for sins by shedding his blood on the cross for you and you alone, if you were the only one. And if you just accept what he has done, then your punishment is erased. You can be a brand new, debt-free, forgiven person. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks, saying, if you will just open the door, I'll come in and I will dine with you. Can you hear him knocking right now? But he won't crash the door down. It must be your move and yours alone. No church or religion can save you. It's a personal choice, just you and your maker, Jesus Christ. And this is very important. If you are backsliding or even wondering whether you are saved or not, maybe you're just an in-name-only Christian of Matthew 7:21. You might only have a head knowledge of him and not a true heart conviction. Get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. Time is running out, folks. And again, God sends no one to hell. You decide where your soul, that never dies, spends eternity. It's really your call. Don't be a fool. The Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.